Like one preacher said, his message was like a longhorn, Texas longhorn steer, a point on each end and a lot of bull in between. I don't want my preaching to be like that. So anyway, I appreciate you. Appreciate Brother Tony inviting me to preach. How long are you going to be preaching, brother? It's getting late. It's getting dark. And these guys, they preached a long time, so I'll preach, what, 15 minutes? 20 minutes? All right, 22. They preached an hour apiece, and I preached 20 minutes. That sounds fair. There's just something about that just don't seem right, does it? All right. I'll remember them next year when they come down to Grace. But I appreciate. I want to preach out of, just read a couple of verses of Scripture out of Matthew chapter number 28. I want to read one verse of Scripture. Then keep your Bibles open. I don't never, nor hardly ever do it this way. I'm going to read two or three verses out of a couple of other passages of Scripture. But what I want to preach on is something a little bit different than the way I normally preach. And it's kind of interesting what these two guys preached and what I'm going to preach. It's kind of interesting how this worked out. Both of these men preached about a woman in the Bible. Brother Kiever preached about a woman at the well. Brother Jeff preached about a woman that wearied. And I'm going to preach about a woman that worshiped. Amen. So that's interesting how the Lord worked all that out. That'll preach right there, won't it? Matthew chapter 28. And I'm just going to use this for a springboard here. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8 said, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Yeah. I got to thinking and reading. I was thinking about a woman in the Bible, Mary, the Lazarus sister. There's three different times in the Bible we find that Mary is at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Every time you find real worship in the Bible, it's always at the feet of Jesus. Real worship's always fallen at the feet of Jesus. There are many great people in the Bible that we learn things from, and there's many great heroes in the Bible. We won't go into all that, but there's three different places in the Bible that we see that Mary was at Jesus' feet. That's what I'll talk about tonight just for a few minutes. And at Jesus' feet, you find salvation. As the brother already preached about. I remember the night I got saved, and I remember believe this or not, I had a head full of long, beautiful blonde hair, looked like Ric Flair, back in the mid-70s, and I remember that night I got saved, I fell down at the feet of Jesus, and God gloriously saved my soul. At the feet of Jesus, I found salvation. Not only that, but as the brother already preached, both of them kind of just set the table of what I'm going to say, so I'm just going to be kind of clean-up hitter tonight. But I also found at the feet of Jesus, I found satisfaction. I found something I'd been looking for, like the brother talked about, the woman at the well. I'd been looking and searching. All those years I've been trying all this stuff, and I tried a lot of stuff, but I couldn't find it. My daddy was a preacher, and I'd heard about Jesus, and I knew about Jesus, but I never knew Jesus. And brother, that day that I found him, I fell at his feet. Brother, I found something that my heart had been looking for and yearning for. And brother, there was a missing piece in my heart that I never could find in the bottom of a liquor bottle. And brother, I'll tell you, I found satisfaction. Not only that, but I found at the feet of Jesus, I found security. Thank God for that. And brother, I'll tell you, I've been secure ever since. I don't go to bed at night worrying whether I'm going to go to hell or not. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Thank God, I know it's all taken care of. Amen. And also, at the feet of Jesus, you'll find service. Brother, if you'll just get at his feet and seek God, as Brother Jess preached about, if you'll just get at his feet and seek him and pray and seek God. You young people here tonight, if you want to find out God's will in your life, just get at his feet and pray and seek God. He'll put you to work. Amen. You'll find something to do. Hey, the problem is we just want to run around and do our own thing and tell the preacher we found peace about it. But brother, if you'll get at Jesus' feet and seek the will of God, you'll find service. And the brother at Jesus' feet, you'll also find solitude. Thank God there's peace and solitude at at the feet of Jesus. I want to mention three things that we see at Mary 5. We find her at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, flip over there with me just a minute. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but in Luke chapter 10, we see that she's learning of him. Luke chapter 10, the Bible said in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Hey, we find her, number one, she's learning of him. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, she was learning of him. If you want to really learn about Jesus, get at his feet. She learned that he's a life changer. He's a problem solver. He's a constant friend. Amen. He's a foundation that'll never run down. He's a fountain that'll never run dry. He's a friend that'll never run off. And he's a future that'll never run out. He had an unfailing love and an unchanging doctrine. She learned that he was unchanging. He was unbelievable in his lifestyle. She learned he had an uncompromising ministry. She learned that he's unequaled in his character. She learned he's undeniable in his examples. She learned he's unaffected by the world. She learned that he never lied. She learned that he never withheld the truth. She learned that he never lusted after a woman. And he never flirted with a girl. He never experimented with drugs. His lips never touched alcohol. He never looked at porn. He never went to a strip club. He never embezzled money. He never cheated an employer by not working what he was paid. He never, listen, he never had a wife and left her for another woman. He never had children and deserted them. He never had to go to a rehab clinic. He never had a hangover. He never visited a drug dealer. He never smoked a cigarette. He never read a dirty magazine. He never had trouble with neighbors. He never incited a riot. He never molested a child. Listen, she learned all this at the feet of Jesus and so much more. He never had a homosexual experience. He never got mad and lost his temper and said something he had to repent of. He never cheated on his taxes. He was never caught in a compromising position or an embarrassing situation. He never borrowed money and didn't pay it back. He never saw someone in need and just walked by. He never betrayed his friends, yet they betrayed him. He never had thoughts of murder, stealing, cheating, or lying. He never coveted after someone else's stuff. He never was somewhere he shouldn't have been. He never instigated trouble among friends. He never was nosing in somebody else's business. Say amen right there. He never tried to live off the government without working. He never cheated someone on a business deal. He never had bills that he wouldn't pay. He was sincere. He was never questioned. His motives were never selfish. His actions were never foolish. His false accusations were never proven. And she learned that he was a preacher. He was a healer. He was a revealer. He was a servant. He was a friend. He was a rescuer. She got at his feet, and that's what you learn when you get at the feet of the Lamb of God. She learned that he had a virgin birth, that he lived a virtuous life, that he died a vicarious death, and he rose a victorious resurrection, and one day he'll have a visible return. Thank God, I'm glad for the stuff we've learned when we get at Jesus' feet. My daddy told me when I was a young preacher, he said, son, just get at Jesus' feet and you'll find out everything you need to know about him. He never made a claim he couldn't perform. He never made a promise he couldn't keep. He never preached a word that wasn't necessary. He never saw a sinner he didn't love. He never saw a soul he couldn't save. He never saw a person he couldn't keep. He never saw a saint thank God he never saw a saint he wouldn't bless. Amen! No one ever said he let me down. He never failed. He never faltered. He never feared. Thank God these are the things we've learned at the feet of Jesus. He's a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die. He's a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defined, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, resources that can never be exhausted. Oh, these are just a few things about him. I can never exhaust. Hey, ever preacher in here,
you can preach about Him from now on till He comes back. We can never tell it all. Hey, the universe sings His praise, and we can't tell everything there is to tell. Oh, but Mary knew, if I can get in His faith, I'm going to learn about Him. Words can't explain Him. Death can't maintain, and the grave couldn't contain Him. I'm starting to feel like preaching. Words can't explain Him. His doctrine was unchanging. His message was unusual. His power was unheard of. They said, we've seen strange things today. This is weird. Didn't they? We've never heard such things. His touch was unforgettable. He interrupted funerals and brought the dead back. He preached sermons that sent the religious people running scared. He gave hope to the hopeless and rest to the weary, fed multitudes with only a handful of food. He gave Himself to people that didn't even want Him. He walked with common people and preached to religious leaders and irritated kings. He created the universe, but now they didn't even have a place to call home. No bed to sleep in, no house to call his own. He surrendered to death, but death couldn't, could only, death could only hold him 3 days. What about that? And he had an unfaltering love, unfailing grace, unparalleled power, and he had unfinished business, thank God. He was the perfect Savior. He walked like a man, performed miracles like God, and died like a criminal. Thank God, and rose from the dead, brother. He was betrayed by his friends, hated by his enemies, and executed by his own people. His grace and his truth are inexhaustible. His joy and peace are indescribable, but His grace is indispensable. His love is incomprehensible. His work on earth is never ending. There's not a situation, as you've already heard, that He cannot control. There's not a difficulty He cannot contain. There's not a problem He cannot solve. Let me tell you a few things I've learned about Him. I've been a preacher for almost 35 years. I've learned this. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter it gets. You young people, how many's been saved less than 10 years? Raise your hand. You don't know how good it's going to get. You have no idea, young lady, how wonderful it's going to be 10 years from now. I had no idea. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I fell in love with Him when I got saved. I didn't know it was going to get this good. I didn't know it was going to get sweeter and better. Brother Gene, as the years roll out, I'm more in love with Him now than I was 35 years ago. And I expect it to get better every day. I can't wait till next week and next month and next year. That's one thing I've learned about Him. It gets better. One old country preacher said it gets tweeter and tweeter. One of these days, it's liable to turn into tugger. I've learned this. He's the dearest friend a person can ever have. I'll tell you something else I've learned at His feet. Everything the Bible says about Him, Brother Tony, and everything I've ever heard, every song I've ever sung about Him, every song I've ever heard about Him, every message I've ever heard preached about Him, they're all true. Everything. And they don't even scratch the surface. It's all true, everything you heard. It's real, brother. Oh, my. My leg's been hurting me all day. I've been gimpy. But I'm starting to feel like a running spell. Amen. I'm telling you something tonight. You learn these things at the feet of Jesus. I've learned these things at His feet with a close personal relationship with Him. I've learned that when I fall and falter and fail and make a mess and turn back to Him, I find out He's right there where I left Him. I've learned this, that He still moves me deep in my soul, Brother Cody. Was like most carnal Christians, we go home on Sunday night and flip a TV on, eat a sandwich. A couple of Sunday nights ago, the Country Music Awards go, I hate country music. Amen. I hate that nasal whining stuff. I hated it before I got saved. Amen. Now, ZZ Top was on, I'd backslide. Yeah. Or Lynyrd Skynyrd, something like that. I'd say, well, we was on visitation one day, knocked on the door, and Journey was playing on the stereo in the house. And I said, they don't hear us, let's knock again. My wife said, wait a minute, wait, let's next verse. Debbie said, wait a minute, I like this part. Hold on, wait a minute. I said, honey, we're on visitation, for God's sake. That's a long time ago. But I want to say he's still the most fascinating person and excites me. There's nobody in the world. There's no movie star, Michael Jackson, Justin Bieber, or no country star in this world ever does one thing for me like Jesus does, like the old black preacher does. There ain't nobody like him. 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 There ain't good grammar, but bless God Almighty, it's good preaching. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody. And he's still the most interesting person that I've ever heard of. I still read about him, and it still something jumps out at me. People go to Bible bookstore and buy books about Jesus, Brother Gene. This is the one I still get. This one still turns me on, brother. I'll be reading. Say, look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, honey, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been preaching all these years. I'm ashamed of myself. Find something really that simple that I've missed.
Uh-huh.
It's because it's him.
That's right.
It ain't because I'm that stupid. I am stupid.
Yeah.
But it's because it's him.
Yeah.
He irradiates from that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody like him.
Right.
I've learned he's the most constant thing in my life.
Yeah.
I might change and fall apart and do something crazy. He's constant.
Amen.
I tell you something else I've learned about him. He's the best thing, Brother Cody, that I passed down to my family.
Yeah.
I ain't got a whole lot.
Yeah.
I ain't no rich man. I'm a Baptist preacher. Silver and gold have I none.
Yeah.
My kids has got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When they get up and sing, their tears are running down their face.
Yeah.
Where's the back door shaking hands Wednesday night? People's hugging her neck and saying, preacher, we don't want you to go to West Virginia. There ain't nothing up there. I said, I know it. There are a bunch of hayseed idiots up there. No, they didn't. I didn't. We got a few people on fire for the Lord. I said, please don't go. We'll let you stay here. And they'll get over it. They ain't been saved long. You know how they are. It won't be long. They're like, go, stay. Stay. Go. We don't care. There's this back here at the back. And I heard somebody singing up toward the front. Back of my hair on the back of my neck. Start standing up. I ain't got nothing nowhere else. And I look, turn around, my kid's up at the piano. Ronnie's hammering down on that thing. Candace and Travis and Ronnie was singing. And both their wives sitting on the front row. And they start singing about how good Jesus is.
Yeah.
Lord God, they're singing that song. Did I mention to you that I love him?
Yeah.
By the way, did I tell you how much I love him? I went by the tomb. They start singing. I went by the tomb of Buddha. And that lady's all caught bomb. I went by the tomb of Muhammad. He's still there. I went by Jesus' tomb. There ain't nothing there. I've learned this, bless God. The greatest thing I could ever leave my family is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I'm just on my first point. I'm out of time. She was learning of him. She was learning of him. But in John chapter 11, she was leaning on him. First, she was learning on him, and secondly, she was leaning on him. They come to a place in their life where Lazarus got sick. You know the story. He got real sick. They said, your friend Lazarus is sick. And he said, yeah, I know. Just like Brother Jeff preached. These guys just preached all around what I was going to preach. They said, he's real sick. Jesus, you don't understand, he's bad off. Yeah, I know. He just kept on trucking.
Yeah.
They said, Lord, maybe you don't really get this. They say he ain't going to pull through. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
They say he ain't going to make it. They're running some tests. Doctor say he ain't got 24 hours. I know. Lord, he lives that way. Yeah, I know. I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
Lord, he's going to die. I got you. Lord, he ain't going to make it. And he just kept on going the other way.
Yeah.
And it's just like they was knocking, but he wasn't hearing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
A couple of days go by and he comes back. He said, it's too late now.
Yeah.
It's too late. We needed you a couple of days ago. Now you show up and he's dead.
Yeah.
Martha met him out there and he's, Lord, he's dead. He died. She was crying. He said, Martha, don't you understand he'll raise again? You know the conversation he had with Martha. And she went running back and got Mary. And when Mary came back, the Bible said, there in John 11, she fell at his feet.
Yeah.
And he said, and listen to this, the Bible said that Jesus wept.
Yeah.
That's where you start your Bible memorization.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus wept. And the Bible said he groaned in his spirit and he was troubled.
Yeah.
You know what? If you really study that, the Bible said he was moved and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? His heart was broke. And they said, oh, how he loved him. The Bible is telling us here that she was leaning on him. Her heart was broke. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, I know you can do all things. I know you have all power. It's all in your hands. But I know if you'd have just been here, this wouldn't have happened. Lord, I know if you'd answered my prayer the first time, I wouldn't have been in this shape. Lord, he's dead now. He died 4 days ago. Why didn't you answer me? But I know it's okay, but here's the thing. She wasn't up in his face.
Yeah.
She wasn't up in his face, pointing her finger in his face. She's at his feet.
Yeah.
It's okay to question God sometimes, as long as you're in the right position.
Yeah.
If you're on your face at his feet, and you say, Lord, why? Why is this happening? That's okay. He understands. Like the brothers preaching about his daughter. That's okay. He understands you're human and you're frail.
Right.
As long as you ain't standing up in his face with your finger in his face.
Yeah.
She was at his feet.
Yeah.
She said, he's already dead. And he was moved. And he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? You know the rest of the story will happen, don't you?
Yeah.
Took him to Lazarus' tomb. But she's leaning on him. She'll say, Lord, if I've ever needed you, I need you now. My heart's broke. I want to tell you something, people. There's been a few times in my life. You've heard these old songs where we talk about a broken heart. Mine's been broke a few times. Let me tell you this. You can lean on him when you're weary from the storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes the storm gets rough.
Yeah.
Storm's coming.
Yeah.
Storm's coming.
Yeah.
If I've told this here, just bear with me.
Yeah.
My daddy was a great preacher.
Yeah.
Daddy lived in the North Carolina mountains and pastored there in the area where Brother Gene's at most of his life. Daddy was a great preacher. What made him so great was he loved people and he loved the Lord. Daddy's health deteriorated and he got Alzheimer's, and it's a terrible, terrible way to watch somebody die. Daddy was my hero. When I got saved and started preaching, he was my everything, Brother Cody. He taught me everything about the ministry. The night I announced my call to preach, I got up and I'd run from it and run from it. I said, finally I got up and surrendered. I said, God's called me to preach. That place went nuts. They went wild. You thought you was at Charlotte Coliseum and Garth Brooks walked in. That place shouted the house. I remember, I can see it in my mind right now. It got foggy in there, brother.
Yes, sir.
They went wild, bro. Shouted the place down. And I'll never forget, I can see it as clear as day. We walked back to the parsonage where Daddy, where I lived. I mean, I was still just a kid, 20 years old, living at home. Daddy took me down to bed, set me down. I can see it clear as day. He said, now, son, I'm proud of you. But I got a few things I want to share with you. And he started telling me about the ministry and how rough it's going to be. Some of the things that's going to go through. He started telling me how people are going to talk about me. Some people are going to hate you. Brother Gene, he's telling me that stuff and I thought, what's wrong with you? Did you not see what we just walked out of? There's people shouting all over that place. There's people still over at the church. They ain't left yet. I never seen my mama shout so much and cry. And my see, I was a dope head and a drunk for about 4 years. And I mean, they didn't think I'd ever get saved. And now I'm telling them I'm going to be a preacher. And they're going crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why he's telling me all this. And he said, son, he gave me a few pointers. He said, son, whatever you do, don't never compromise that King James Bible.
Amen.
He said, ain't nothing wrong with it. Amen. Stay with the book.
Amen.
He said, if you mess up, apologize. If you do something in the flesh, be a man.
Sure.
Own it.
Amen.
But if you preach the book, don't ever back down.
Amen.
Let them get mad. Let them fly the coop. Let them go crazy. If it splits the church and it's the book and it's the truth, let her split, son.
Amen.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
And he gave me some things like that. Don't ever do this and don't ever do that. He said, if you get invited to preach, don't ever say no. I'll go preach.
Yeah.
Preach, son.
Amen.
And there's people that ain't going to like you. Sometimes your best friend's going to stab you in the back. And I thought, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
But as the years rolled on, Brother Jeff, I started knowing what. And now I'm 55. And I'm almost 55. I'll turn 55 when you do, brother, about the same day. But I'm prettier than you, and I don't smoke pot. But listen. But my daddy died back about 6 years ago. I preached his funeral. Before he died, his Alzheimer's got real bad. But you have to lean on him. And I like what Brother Jeff said. I used to call my daddy when I'd have problems at church. And sometimes you can call preachers and say, what would you do about this? I had a problem at church here a few years ago, and I called this preacher. One of the best preachers I know, and got the best advice, got a sweet spirit. You could ask this guy anything. He's the number one preacher I'd call when you got a problem, bar none. And he gave me the stupidest advice I've ever heard in my life. I hung up the phone and told my wife, I said, that man is an idiot. Didn't I? I said, he's crazy. You know what that proves? You can't trust man. That's when I learned, buddy, you better watch. That's why the Bible says safety in a multitude of counselors.
Right, yeah.
You better call about four or five pastors.
Yes, sir.
You don't call just one and say, okay, so-and-so said do this, and then you haul off and go do it.
That's right.
You better call about three men or four or five you really trust.
Right.
Godly men. Make a long story short, I went to see my daddy at the nursing home, and he didn't know me. And it was awful to watch my daddy down in that little wheelchair, and he used to preach. His eyes had just turned red, brother. He could preach, son, the paint off the wall. And he graduated the sixth grade. They made him quit school. They said, you ain't used to going on to school. All you're going to ever do is look at a mule's rear end. You know, work on a farm. You don't need no school. But he could preach.
Yeah.
Isn't that wheelchair? Didn't know who I was. Didn't know my kids. That hurt me so bad. And I tried to talk to him and jog his memory, but you can't. I said, Daddy, do you know me? And once in a while, he had known me a little bit, and I'd just be so excited. And there was my hero sitting in that little wheelchair, this little body all frail. He'd just look up at the ceiling and the walls. My hero, like Superman sitting there with no cape. Well, the Lone Ranger, somebody took his mask away from him. And I was there to see him one day. My wife remembered this. I'll never forget this. I said, Daddy, do you know me? And he just looked through me. He had the bluest steel blue eyes you ever saw. I said, Daddy, and I asked him a bunch of questions, nothing. I said, Daddy, are you saved? And he went, I sure am.
Yeah.
Like that, son.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard these stories before. This happened to me. This ain't Phil Kidd talking. This happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Me and her was standing there.
Yeah.
And when he got to talking, the nurses started getting a little closer. They started getting up. He said, I sure do. I said, tell me about it. He said in Lenoir, North Carolina, Laurel Ridge, in 1952, he said these two brothers married two sisters and said they started having marital problems. And I was getting down there in his face and I pulled up a chair and he said they started having this big feud, this big fight, and they thought they were going to kill each other. And they called this preacher to have a cottage prayer meeting. He said, I didn't know what a cottage prayer meeting was, so I went over to see what they're doing. He said, I was a heathen. He said, I'd never been to church. I didn't know what a Bible looked like. He said, I'd never been to preaching. I didn't know nothing about God. He said, I was going to go over and say, who's going to kill who? And so, man, a couple of my friends went over there, and he said, this preacher got up and said, he's going to kind of mediate this thing. And he said, that guy, he had a big old Bible, and he said, he opened that thing up, and he read out of John chapter 3, and brother, he said, he pulling that big old finger down there. He said, my God, he said, that preacher went to preaching, and my daddy started, tears started running down his face, and he started looking up into heaven. He said, that man told me every sin I ever committed in my life. He said, he hung me out over hell. He said, I thought I'd die and go to hell before I ever got through preaching. He said he'd give the invitation. He said I fell out there on the floor at his feet. He said I got saved. He said God redeemed my never dying soul. He said I looked around there and there was your mama and she was bawling and crying and we both got saved. He said God has been good to me and he said I've been saved ever since. Just like that.
Yeah.
I said what happened to them? I said what happened to them brothers and sisters? He said I don't know. And just like that, he snapped right back into that world and he started talking to that speaker on the wall again.
Yeah.
And you know what I was doing? I was leaning on him.
Yeah.
And I hugged my daddy real tight and I kissed his little bald head. And I walked out of that nursing home and I told my wife, I said, maybe the Lord let that happen just so we could lean on him a little bit.
Yeah.
I know my daddy's all right. Yeah. Brother Cody, just like your daddy, someday you have to see that happen. But when you do, you just get at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
But the day came when I preached my daddy's funeral. And that place was jam-packed full. And I'd seen all them people got saved under his preaching. Son, you talk about a little bald-headed preacher that got plugged into the glory world. Yeah. Some of them people hadn't heard preaching.
Yeah.
And son, I let her rip tater chip.
Yeah.
That funeral director, he acted like he didn't know what was going on. Just get out of the way, son. I don't know what I might do next.
Yeah.
I was leaning on him. I'll tell you what, brother. Hey, brother, when you get weary by the storm, you can lean on him. Hey, you can lean on him. When you're weakened by the flesh, this flesh gets weak. Brother, you can lean on him. Lean on him. Just get at his feet, and you can lean on him when the flesh gets weak. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of... Listen, brother, I'm tired of our leaders, our government's gone down the... I feel like our country's the only thing left is somebody just to flush the lever.
Yeah,
our president has no feelings. I don't even... That man don't have any conscience, it don't seem like. He gave that speech last week when them folks got blowed up. Just reading it off, brother. No feeling at all. If his voice would have cracked and his shed a tear, I'd have felt a little bit better about him. Nothing. But I'm going to tell you something that I hate even worse than that. I hate this flesh that we're walking around in. I'm sick of this flesh. I'm weakened by it. Listen, I've been saved all these years, and it's still a war. 1978, I got saved. I was going with the world. We was all going this way. We was having this big party. And I stopped and I got saved. I repented. I started going that way. I started doing this. And I started fighting, going upstream, Brother Ron. And I was fighting. I've been swimming upstream. And I've been doing it ever since. I'm an old man now. And I'm still fighting. And I'm still swimming upstream. It ain't no easier. As far as the flesh is concerned, the Bible said, Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But you can lean on him. Sometimes I think the thing I hate worse about pastoring a church is the people. If it wasn't for people, pastoring would be a joy. Wasn't it, Brother Gene? That's the worst part about it. If it's dogs or sheep or cattle or something, but it's people. But you know what's worse than that? Me. I drove all the way up here. Well, my wife did, and I rode. 8-hour ride, brother. And my biggest problem was up here waiting on me. This flesh.
Yeah.
And you can lean on him when you're wasted by a life of sin.
Yeah.
She was learning of him. She was leaning on him. And thirdly, we see her in John 12. She was loving on him.
Amen.
John chapter 12, look with me and I'm going to close. I preached long and I meant to, Brother Tony. You'll never invite me back, will you? John chapter 12, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus, which... Now notice the wording here. Your King James Bible's always right.
Yeah.
Lazarus, which had been dead.
Yeah.
That's in there for a reason. Whom he raised from the dead. The Lord wants you to understand that there's a man sitting at the table eating... That was dead that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah.
He wants you to understand that there's not another guy sitting at the table named Lazarus that was had the same name as the guy that died and Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
He wants you to make a mistake.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that was dead and he rose him from the dead.
Right.
And also it's not Lazarus that they dug him up and it's a corpse sitting there and he propped him up. Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, he wouldn't be sitting at the table if he wasn't alive. Then Mary took a pound of ointment, a spikenard, and a very costly anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In this case, she's just loving on him.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, you wonder why... She's just loving on him now, brother.
Yeah.
She had learned of him,
right,
and she had leaned on him. But you know why she was loving on him? Every time she walked by the table, that's my brother.
Yeah.
That's boy, don't he look good. He once was dead.
Yeah.
He don't stink now.
Yeah.
He was wrapped up in grave clothes, but he looks good. He looks good in that new suit we bought him. Could I tell you something? The Bible says, much. Jesus said, he's talking about the woman that kissed his feet. He said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loveth much. You know, I don't understand. Personally, I don't understand why people don't get excited and don't shout a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's they don't feel like they've been forgiven much, but brother, I'll tell you what. When I look back and see where God brought me from, that's why I get excited. If you know where he brought me from, she was loving on him because of forgiveness. She was loving on him because of her family. She was loving on him because of fellowship. Real worship, the odor of real worship always fills the house.
Yeah.
Every time real worship takes place, it always fills the house up.
Yeah.
You ever been in a house of worship? You ever been in a church where something bad happens? That fills the house up, don't it?
Right.
You ever been in a church and business meeting happens, something bad happens? Whoa. That atmosphere just fills the church up.
Yeah.
We was having church a couple of weeks ago, testimony service, and we got this guy that comes to church. I don't know if y'all have weirdos that come here or not. I bet you do, don't you? You probably brought a couple with you, didn't you? No comment. But every church I've ever pastored, weirdos show up. This one guy, he's just kind of odd. You know, he's kind of a testimony service of going good people. He's right in the middle of choir singing. And my wife, matter of fact, had the microphone. And she just started testifying. She was crying. And my deacon, he started testifying. Travis, my son. And I mean, it just got on. And two or three people back here. And this guy, he's about 17 years old, getting ready to graduate. He's just weird. He's got a weird spirit about him. You got to watch him. I don't normally hand people money, but I give him money every time he's at church to get rid of him. Preacher, you got a couple dollars? Yeah, here. Get on the bus. Get him out of here. It's worth it, brother. If it's $2 to get rid of him, it's worth it. Because he'll hang around and bug you to death. Just weird. But he just started saying something crazy. And then it was like, spirit went out of that service.
Yeah.
Everybody in the choir went. Used to have another woman come to our church. When she'd open her mouth to testify, it was like, that Shekinah glory would just go out the window. In the same way, when real worship starts taking place, it's like that alabaster box of ointment opens up. It just fills the fills the place. Amen. And that's when you get at Jesus' feet and you start loving on him. I'll say this in closing. You can love on him when you're down and you're discouraged and you're disheartened and you're depressed and you're discontented. I said this a couple of weeks ago when we were little, when it would come up a storm, we'd get scared. I don't know why, but there's something about getting it at your daddy's feet. My daddy used to have a big old easy chair. Everybody's got a papa chair at their house. Daddy's recliner or easy chair. That's daddy's seat. You don't sit in that chair. I think that's kind of cool, don't you? Nowadays, the kids rule everything. I don't agree with that. They should be a certain chair. It's nobody's chair but daddy's. I got one in my house. I always have that. Nobody sits in it. And I always kind of bent the rules, and Candace could always sit in my chair if I wasn't around, or if I wasn't home, and she's the only girl I had. She was the baby, so she'd kind of sit in it like, if I wasn't around, the boys were like, ugh, I couldn't stand it. I'd make exceptions. She could sit in my chair if I wasn't around. But there was something about that stool in front of daddy's chair. We'd all get up around that stool where daddy's feet was when there's a storm coming up. Or when we'd gather around and talk about something, daddy talked to us about something, we'd get at his feet. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You don't get up around his neck, around his head. You get at his feet.
Amen.
She was learning of him. She was leaning on him.
Yeah.
She's loving on him.
Yeah.
Let's get at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
When we get to heaven, that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
We're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Brother Tony.
Amen.